Ellen G. White and the Loud Cry, The Messengers and the Message, Part 3. What was the message? Ellen White made many statements regarding the message sent through A.T. Jones and E.J. Wagner. The following excerpts are samples, mostly from the Ellen G. White 1888 materials given in chronological order. The repetitious variations serve to reinforce the divine character and importance of this most precious message. It was a message of justification by faith, page 211 and 447. The righteousness of Christ in relation to the law, page 211. It was a message of the tidings that Christ is our righteousness, page 387. It was a message of the unmerited blessings that God has bestowed, His grace, His privileges, His opportunities, page 387. It was a message of God's dealing with His people as a loving, forgiving Father, dealing with an ungrateful, wayward son, page 387. It was a message of the light shining forth from the Word of God has been clear and distinct, justification by faith, Christ our righteousness, page 447. It was a message of these great and glorious truths, the righteousness of Christ and the entire sacrifice made in behalf of man, page 217. It was a message of the religion of Jesus Christ, clearly defined, made so clear that a child may understand that it is an immediate, voluntary, trustful surrender of the heart to God, a coming into union with Christ in confidence, affectionate obedience to do all His commandments through the merits of Jesus Christ. It is a decisive act of the individual, committing to the Lord the keeping of the soul. It is the climbing up by Christ, clinging to Christ, accepting the righteousness of Christ as a free gift. The will is to be surrendered to Christ through faith in the righteousness of Christ is salvation, page 281. It was a message of faith in Jesus Christ's righteousness in the behalf of every individual soul, page 281. It was a message of the gospel of Christ, page 281. It was a message of the precious subject, the righteousness of Christ and of faith, page 291. It was a message of the gospel as well as the law, page 291. It was a message of the matchless charms of Christ, page 348. It was a message of the grand and the overpowering ideas of His Excellency, page 447. It was a message of the glory, the majesty, the righteousness of Christ, full of goodness and truth, the fullness of the Godhead in Jesus Christ, set forth with beauty and loveliness to charm all whose hearts were not closed with prejudice, page 447. It was a message of much precious light, page 828. It was a message of divine love, page 913. It was a message of the rich gifts of Jesus unto men, imparting the priceless gift of His own righteousness to the helpless human agent, page 1336. It was a message of justification by faith and the imputed righteousness of Christ, page 1455. It was a message of Christ crucified, a risen Savior, ascended into the heavens to be our advocate, page 1455. It was a message of the wisdom and power of God in the conversion of souls, page 1455. It was a message of these themes: Christ crucified for our sins, Christ risen from the dead, Christ our intercessor before God, the office work of the Holy Spirit, the representative of Christ, sent forth with divine power and gifts for men, page 1455. It was a message of the special power of the Holy Spirit that God longed to impart to them, that efficiency in carrying the truth to the world as the apostles proclaimed it after the day of Pentecost, page 1575. It was a message of taking their burden of sin to Jesus for his forgiveness, page 1689. It was a message about a people John saw. He says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus," Revelation 14, verse 12. This people John beholds just before he sees the Son of Man having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle, verse 14. Page 211. It was a message about the law in Galatians, page 228. It was a message about the faith of Jesus and the righteousness of Christ, page 370. It was a message about looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of faith, Christ the great pattern. His character must be our character. All excellence is in him, turning from man and every other model with open face. We behold Jesus in all his glory, page 447. It was a message about the value of the price that has been paid for our salvation, page 546. It was a message about the law of God exalted, placed before the people in the framework of the gospel of Jesus Christ, page 828. It was a message about the righteousness of Christ as our only hope of gaining access to the Father, page 1057. It was a message about their strength being proportionate to the strength of their dependence, page 1690. It was a message that presented justification through faith in the surety, page 1336. It was a message that invited the people to receive the righteousness of Christ, which is made manifest in obedience to all the commandments of God, page 1336. It was a message that directed the eyes of those who had lost sight of Jesus to his divine person, his merits, and his changeless love for the human family, page 1336. It was a message that by looking to Jesus and believing in his imputed righteousness, I may gain eternal life, page 1688. It was a message that the plan of redemption shall come to his people as the latter rain, page 1690. It was a message to wake up the mighty men to prepare for battle for the day of God's preparation, page 210. It was a message to strengthen his people, page 267. It was a message to educate the people to look away from themselves to Jesus and to his righteousness, page 286. It was a message to revive his people and give them light in clear, distinct rays that would lead to the magnifying of Christ. The Lord's command to his people through his messengers was, go forward. Page 308. It was a message to arouse a lukewarm, slumbering church. Page 414. It was a message to go to every church that claims to believe the truth and bring our people up to a higher standpoint. Page 545. It was a message to carry the people forward and upward to a higher, holier state of spirituality. Page 1140. It was a message to be seen by these glorious truths glowing in our hearts, trembling upon our lips, and pervading our whole being. Page 1692. It was a message to the faith of Jesus, Jesus' divine person, merits, and changeless love, bringing more prominently before the world the uplifted Savior, the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Page 1336. It was a message to the world to prepare a people to stand in the day of God. Page 1814 and page 1525. It was a message whose results were good fruits. A vigor and a vital energy was brought into the church. Hope and courage and faith beam in the countenances of all those who opened their eyes to see, their understanding to perceive, and their hearts to receive the great treasure of truth. Page 228. It was a message whose results were a better knowledge of what constitutes faith. Page 267. It was a message whose results were highly satisfactory. Page 267. It was a message whose results were an experience beyond anything they had known before. Page 268. It was a message whose results were a solemn realization that Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Page 268. It was a message whose results were, we seem to breathe in the very atmosphere of heaven. Angels were indeed hovering around. The Lord had visited his people. Page 268. It was a message whose results were, many were convicted in the light of the law as transgressors. They had been trusting in their own righteousness. Now they saw it as filthy rags in comparison with the righteousness of Christ, which is alone acceptable to God. While they had not been open transgressors, they saw themselves depraved and degraded in heart. Page 268. It was a message whose results were the plan of salvation, the simplicity of faith, has been made so clear that a child may understand. Page 281. It was a message whose results were the tame, lukewarm tone of the people's testimonies were gone. They were characterized by deep, earnest feeling. Men and women confessed how destitute of the love of Christ in the soul and of love for their brethren their religious experience had been. They humbly and thankfully expressed their gratitude for the light received. They had been clinging closely to their own righteousness. Now by faith they trust in Christ's might and his power and his righteousness. They can do literally nothing without divine help. Their prayers now are filled with earnest, simple faith that takes God at his word. All now seem to have warm hearts. The love of Christ is assurance to them of their acceptance, and they longed to speak and acknowledge the great goodness of God in providing them a righteousness which is pure, spotless, efficacious. Page 283. It was a message whose results were, "Our brethren and sisters have begun to see and to understand what Jesus is to them. The Lord is in our midst." Page 284. It was a message whose results were without excitement or extravagance. The leaven of Christ's righteousness has been introduced into the experience and has energized the soul. Page 284. It was a message whose results were many born precious testimonies that they never loved Jesus, never viewed him in the character of such a friend, and so gracious as they did now. Page 284. It was a message whose results were their hearts were melted and subdued with the love of Jesus. One brother's heart was broken, and he was so impressed with the love of Jesus that he wept aloud. Ministers were happy, newly converted, and they now bear a testimony that is free and joyful. Page 284. It was a message whose results that brought relief to many, many souls. Page 387. It was a message whose results were the past year has been the best of their life. The light shining forth from the Word of God has been clear and distinct. Justification by faith. Christ our righteousness. The experiences have been very interesting. Page 447. It was a message whose results were of great interest is manifested. Page 447. It was a message whose results were a growing in faith and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Page 447. It was a message whose results were light and relief and the blessing of God. Page 447. It was a message whose results were minds were filled with the grand and overpowering ideas of His Excellency. Page 447. It was a message whose results were on every other subject sinks into insignificance, and every part of moral discipline is lost which does not promote their likeness to His image. Page 447. It was a message whose results were their experience was of a more spiritual character than they have had before since embracing the truth. Page 461. It was a message whose results were the fruit is peace, courage, joy, and harmony. Page 461. Its influence upon human hearts of all who have received it is good, and the fruits are good. Page 499. It was a message whose results were there was no relish for sin. Hate the sin that caused the sufferings of the Son of God. Page 545. It was a message whose results were the power of God attended the message wherever it was spoken. Page 545. It was a message whose results were healing and life and comfort to many weary and oppressed souls. Page 673. It was a message whose results, souls turned from sin to righteousness. Faith revived in the hearts of the contrite ones. Page 673. It was a message whose results were impressions left on many minds, which will be deepened and will be as lasting as eternity. Many testimonies in all parts of the field, I found light, precious light. My Bible is a new book. Never did we feel as at this meeting the necessity of being under the constant control of the Spirit of God, constantly uplifting the heart to God to be Christians in heart, Christians in principles, possessing not merely a theory of the truth, but revealing the principles of truth in a Christ-like spirit. Page 828. It was a message whose results were those who do not allow prejudice to bar the heart against the heaven-sent message cannot but feel the spirit and force of the truth. Page 1122. It was a message whose results were light and freedom and the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Page 1122. It was a message whose results were the conversion of souls, bringing them back to their loyalty to Christ. Page 1455. It was a message whose results were they would understand what it means to be justified by faith, and their testimony would be heard in the congregation. The Savior has cleansed us from all sin. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Page 1689. It was a message whose results were truths have been made known that have been of great value to the world and to the people of God. The way has been made so plain that honest hearts cannot but receive the truth. But there are still treasures to be searched for. Let the shaft which has begun to work the mine of truth sink deep, and it will yield rich and precious treasures. Page 1689, see page 1690 for more statements like the following regarding more truth. We are to know more than we do at the present time, greater lengths and breadths and heights of that knowledge which God alone can give. It was a message whose results were thousands have set the Lord before them, and by beholding been changed into the same image. Their spirit burns within them as they speak of his character, telling what Jesus is to them and what they are to Jesus. Page 1692. It was a message whose results were many moved and humbled drink of the waters of life. Page 1814. It was a message that was God's message for this time, but would not perhaps have been present truth 20 years ago. Page 133. It was a message that was a solemn message. Page 210. It was a message that was no new light, but it was old light placed where it should be in the third angel's message. Page 211. It was a message that was precious truths. 217. The message for this time. Page 217. Paulson Collection. Page 151. It was a message that was present truth for this time. Pages 228, 286, 387, 1710. Truth for this time. Page 406, 420, 447, 545, 1025, 1057, 1160, and 1620. The precious sanctifying truth for this time. Page 723, and 1077. It was a message that was the great treasure of truth. Page 228. The light which the Lord has given. 3 Bio 421. It was a message that was soul nourishing food. Page 267. It was a message that was the very message the Lord has sent to the people of this time. Page 267 and 1395. It was a message that was a flood of light in this subject of faith and the righteousness of Christ. It was a message that was the light and the message for the present time. Page 291. It was a message that was the rich blessing of God. Page 308. precious light to present before the people, page 387. A special work he is doing at this time, page 414. The words of Jesus appealing to his people in warnings, in reproofs, in counsels. It was a message that was meet in due season for the starving flock of God, page 437, 1122. It was a message that was large morsels from the Lord's table, page 447. Light and truth, just the truth for this time, page 447. A feast of fat things, 447. It was a message that was bearing the divine credentials, page 447. It was a message that was from above, the message the Lord sends, page 499. It was a message that was the matter now brought to us, justification by faith and the righteousness of Christ, page 499. It was a message that was this urgent call for the will to be yielded, page 499. It was a message that was his work for this time, page 673. The heaven-sent message, heaven sent light, page 673, 831, 1122, 1335, 1656. A special message, 1043, 1245. The message of God to the Laodicean church, page 1052. Most precious message, page 1336. It was a message that was immense in its importance, reaching into heaven, encompassing eternity. Letter 22, 1892 to Ole Olsen. It was a message that God had commanded to be given to the world, page 1336. It was a message that was the third angel's message, which is to be proclaimed with a loud voice and attended with the outpouring of his Spirit in a large measure, page 1336. It was a message that was the invitation. Come, for all things are now ready. Come to the supper prepared for you, page 1455. It was light, heaven's light, 1455. It was the Lord's message, page 1575. It was the light that is to lighten the whole earth with its glory, 1575. It was a message of restoring, healing message to men, calling upon them to look away from man and earthly things and place their trust in God, 1688. It was a message that was the light which would place them under the guardianship of the Holy Spirit to be molded after the divine similitude, page 1689, and 1690. It was additional proclamation of the principles of purity, lowliness, faith, and the righteousness of Christ, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It was a message of which Ellen White said she could respond to with all my heart, page 217. Felt inexpressibly grateful to God, page 217. She said she had presented the subject in the testimonies again and again, page 217. She said she was convinced, if it is not present truth for this time, I know not how we can determine what is truth, page 286. It was a message of which Ellen White said she had been presenting it to you for the last 45 years. What I have been trying to present before your minds. When Brother Wagner brought out these ideas in Minneapolis, it was the first clear teaching on this subject from any human lips I had heard, excepting the conversations between myself and my husband. I said to myself, it is because God has presented it to me in vision that I see it so clearly, and they cannot see it because they have never had it presented to them as I have. When another presented it, every fiber of my heart said, Amen, page 348. It was a message of which Ellen White said she could see heights and depths that we may reach, accepting every ray of light and going forward to a greater light, page 447. She said she knew if God ever spoken by me that it is the truth, page 537. She said it gave my message with the messengers of God right in harmony with the very message they were bearing. She said she tried to present it to the people that they may see the evidence that I saw, page 543. She said she considered it a privilege to stand by the side of my brethren and give my testimony with the message for this time, page 545. She said she tried to present the message to the people as I understand it, page 545. She said she knew that the Lord is in this work, and no one can silence the messenger whom God sends or repress the message, page 1141. Conclusion. It has been a century since these inspired observations were written. Recall the opening statement in this little collection. Quote, "The loud cry will soon be heard, and the earth will be lightened with the glory of God," June 27, 1884. Has there been a delay? And if so, why? The answer to both questions is unequivocal. June 9, 1893, Ellen White had to confess, quote, "The Lord designed that the messages of warning and instruction given through the Spirit to His people should go everywhere. But the influence that grew out of the resistance of light and truth at Minneapolis tended to make of no effect the light God had given to His people through the testimonies. The work of opponents to the truths has been steadily advancing while we have been compelled to devote our energies in a great degree to counteracting the work of the enemy through those who were in our own ranks. The dullness of some and the opposition of others have confined our strength and means largely among those who knew the truth but did not practice its principles. If every soldier of Christ had done his duty, if every watchman on the walls of Zion had given the trumpet a certain sound, the world might ere this have heard the message of warning, but the work is years behind. What account will be rendered to God for thus retarding the work?" 1888 Materials, page 1129. If there had been a delay in 1893, the answer for today should be obvious. Another answer to our questions was given by something she wrote in May 22, 1896. Quote, "If the power of Satan can come into the very temple of God and manipulate things as he pleases, the time of preparation will be prolonged." Close quote. 188 Materials, 1525. The last 30 years of her ministry were mostly absorbed in meeting this emergency and speaking for God in the midst of the challenges which resulted from the delay. It is in light of these historical events that we could understand the powerful spiritual calls to God's people to repentance that the following witnesses give in the years 1901 to 1904. Realize, dear hearer, that we are 100 years after these events, but that length of time only makes the counsel that much more applicable to us. May we enter into God's heart longing to see the final witness of agape given to the world. Matthew 24, verses 12 through 14. April 3, 1901, Ellen White's address to the General Conference session. Quote, I feel a special interest in the movements and decisions that shall be made at this conference regarding the things that should have been done years ago, and especially 10 years ago, when we were assembled in conference and the Spirit and power of God came into our meeting, testifying that God was ready to work for this people if they would come into working order. The brethren assented to the light God had given. But there were those connected with our institutions, especially with the Review and Herald office and the conference, who brought in elements of unbelief, so that the light that was given was not acted upon. It was assented to, but no special change was made to bring about such a condition of things that the power of God could be revealed among His people. General Conference Bulletin, April 3, 1901, paragraph 1. Quote, "The light then given me was that this people should stand higher than any other people on the face of the whole earth, that they should be a loyal people, a people who would rightly represent truth. The sanctifying power of the truth revealed in their lives was to distinguish them from the world. They were to stand in moral dignity, having such a close connection with heaven that the Lord God of Israel could give them a place in the earth." Paragraph 2. Continuing the quote, "Year after year the same acknowledgement was made, but the principles which exalt a people were not woven into the work. God gave them clear light as to what they should do and what they should not do, but they departed from that light, and it is a marvel to me that we stand in as much prosperity as we do today. It is because of the great mercy of our God, not because of our righteousness, but that His name should not be dishonored in the world." Paragraph 3. Continuing the quote, "Why, I ask you, are men who have not brought self into subjection allowed to stand in important positions of truth and handle sacred things? They have grown to the stature of men, but they have brought with them their childish tendencies. God does not want any such thing. He has made provision for all to have in them the grace of Christ. No others will enter heaven. There has been one rebellion there, and there will not be another. We have been given an opportunity to get rid of every kind of rebellion." Close quote. General Conference Bulletin, April 3, 1901. Paragraph 12. This is a quote from a sermon that was given by W.W. Prescott at the General Conference session on April 15, 1901. "I appeal to the circumstances. I want to ask every soul here who has known something of the history of this work to think a little. Everyone who knows the beginning of this movement knows that there was a wondrous power in it, not because they had all the truth which God had proposed to reveal to His people before He became visible in the clouds of heaven, but because they walked in all the light He gave them, rejecting nothing He sent them. Therefore, He gave the witness to their message, and souls were converted, not by the power of eloquence, but by the power of the Spirit of God. Some are here who remember the time when a mere hymn sung in the Spirit would bring the whole audience to tears because God's melting Spirit was there witnessing. Do not the hearts of some long for the ring of those days? That time and experience will not come back by turning backward and going back to see how much light they had. That experience will come by facing toward Him who is the light and opening the windows of the soul toward heaven, closing them toward earth, and stopping this listening to man and putting the commandments of man in the place of the commandments of God. The message that we have given, we want to take to ourselves. We have given away the message until we have lost it. I appeal to you. After that movement, and the Lord did not come, new light broke in. Light upon the full truth of what it meant to keep the commandments of God. The Sabbath truth and the sanctuary truth came forward at the same time because they are inseparable. The reform marched forward with power. But there are many in this audience who can remember when the pendulum began to swing back and can also remember when 13 years ago at Minneapolis, God sent a message to this people to deliver them out of that experience. What has been the history of this people and this work since that time? Where do we stand now with reference to this message? How far has that truth been received, not simply assented to, but actually received? Not far, I tell you. How far has the ministry of this denomination been baptized into that spirit? Not far, I tell you. For the past 13 years, this light has been rejected and turned against by many. And they are rejecting it and turning from it today. And I say to every such one, beware, lest that come upon you which was spoken of the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. What is the remedy? The very same as of old, and no other. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. When John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord under those circumstances that I have set forth, what was his message? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Christ himself appeared and began his work, what did he say? The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. When he sent out his disciples, the apostles, in his stead, carrying on his work after he ascended, what did they preach? Repent ye therefore and be converted. What are the messages to the churches? Repent, repent, repent. What is the message to the Laodicean church? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. A letter to Percy McGann by Ellen White on December 7, 1901. How can finite man carry the burdens of responsibilities for this time? God's people have been far behind. Human agencies, under the divine planning, may recover something of what is lost because the people who had great light did not have corresponding piety, sanctification, and zeal in working out God's specified plans. They have lost to their own disadvantage what they might have gained to the advancement of the truth if they had carried out the plans and will of God. Man cannot possibly stretch over that gulf that has been made by workers who have not been following the divine leader. We may have to remain here in this world because of insubordination many more years, as did the children of Israel. But for Christ's sake, his people should not add sin to sin by charging God with the consequence of their own wrong course of action. Now have men who claim to believe the word of God learned their lesson that obedience is better than sacrifice? He hath showed thee, this rebellious people, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Now the Lord will not be pleased with those men whom he hath appointed to do a certain work, if they take on many lines of work and carry them until they become so wearisome that it breaks their strength. You, Brother McGann, nor any other agency cannot heal the hurt that has come to God's people by neglect to lift up his standard and occupy new territory. The churches should now be acting in their strength, with capabilities, talents, and means, carrying the work, reaching higher and broader in capacity to stand before the world in the power of invincible truth. But if all now would only see and confess and repent of their own course of action in departing from the truth of God and following human devising, then the Lord would pardon. Warnings have been coming, but they have been unheeded. But a few who may now seek to bridge the gulf that stands so offensively before God must make haste slowly, else the standard bearers will fail, and who will take their place? 20 MR, page 313. End of Ellen White's letter to Brother McGann. This is an article from Review and Herald, December 15, 1904, A Call to Repentance. We are living in the time of the end. Thrones and churches have united to oppose God's purposes. The association of man with man, which God designed should be a means of strengthening goodness and happiness, is used as a means of strengthening evil and of developing tendencies to rebellion. Men have assumed despotic power, and human laws have been put in the place of the law of God. It is the reign of Antichrist. God's law is set aside. The scriptures are exchanged for the traditions of men. Satan has become the ruler of the world, and in his hands, temptation has become a science. He rules over a vast, well-organized empire. Sin has stimulated his followers into fearful activity. Men have combined to perpetuate evil. The sale of intoxicating liquor, destructive alike to soul and body, is legalized by Christian governments. Influences are to be set in motion that will proclaim to the world the first, second, and third angels' messages. The world is to be warned, and I beseech those who know the truth to do all in their power to sound the message, "Prepare to meet thy God." God says to his people today, "I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Will they heed the reproof? Will they dare to trifle with so direct and decided a statement and keep their commended excellencies blasted as with a mildew because they allow Satan to steal in among them? Thou hast left thy first love, and therefore there is no steadfastness of purpose. Without this love, all knowledge, all capabilities, all outward zeal and service are worthless. You do not receive from Christ grace to impart to others. And while you do not reveal the love that Christ has commanded you to reveal, your light is not shining forth to the world. Leaving the first love is represented as a spiritual fall. Many have fallen thus. In every church in our land, there is needed confession, repentance, and reconversion. The disappointment of Christ is beyond description. Unless those who have sinned speedily repent. The deceptions of the last days will overtake them. Some, though they do not realize it, are preparing to be overtaken. God calls for repentance without delay. So long have many trifled with salvation that their spiritual eyesight is dimmed, and they cannot discern between light and darkness. Christ is humiliated in his people. The first love is gone. The faith is weak, and there is need of a thorough transformation. My brethren and sisters, humble your hearts before the Lord. Seek him earnestly. I have an intense desire to see you walking in the light as Christ is in the light. I pray most earnestly for you, but I cannot fail to see that the light which God has given me is not favorable to our ministers or our churches. You have left your first love. Self-righteousness is not the wedding garment. A failure to follow the clear light of truth is our fearful danger. The message to the Laodicean church reveals our condition as a people. The end of this article and the end of the reading of this little booklet, Ellen G. White and the Loud Cry. May the Lord bless you.